Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brant. Rose and I would like to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, June 6, 2014. Of course, today we are marking the 70th anniversary of the Allied invasion of Normandy, France. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a good weekend, doing something cool, I hope. We are here live weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We stream and podcast the show for anywhere in the world listening on your schedule at buckmastershow.com. Also, we stream the show at the station website, kvoi.com. And I also want to, on Friday, we like to do a shout-out to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com has a link to the show, as does the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun and Inside Tucson Business. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Michael Keith. Mr. Keith, CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, joining me in studio to question Michael is Sarah Garrett Gasson. Sarah is editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment for us, the Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040, and we also invite you to be a friend of the program on Facebook. Sarah, how are you?
I am doing well, thanks.
Good to see you.
Thanks.
I will publicly say thank you for sitting in while I had a lovely vacation.
Absolutely. Glad to do it. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. Michael, how are you?
I'm great. Bill, thanks for having me on again.
Well, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when I would have you on interview you or interview the mayor or really anybody associated with the city, you know the question that always came up. When are we going to see something happen downtown? Well, we are seeing things happen. Big time.
What a run the last 4 years have been, and it just keeps getting better. You know, we've seen I think we're up at $370 million of private investment just downtown. That's extraordinary.
For those that don't follow it closely, can you kind of give us a thumbnail sketch of an overview of really what has happened over the last year or two?
Yeah, we've just seen business after business open down there. I think we're up at 200 businesses or projects started in a 60-month period. A lot of those in the last 24 months. The streetcar is coming. All that work is completed. They're testing those the lines. Downtown's looking great. It's planted up. It's beautiful. Number of events is just going through the roof. There's a big jazz festival coming in January. I mean, every week is another event being announced. TCC is being worked on. I mean, wow. It's like you can't catch your breath.
And the Downtown Tucson Partnership, for those that don't know what that is, it is a nonprofit organization?
It is. It's a business improvement district organization charged with acting as a catalyst for the redevelopment of downtown. We do a grab bag of enhanced services, including maintenance, security, economic development, PR, marketing, festivals, events, advocacy.
And this is fairly common for downtowns around the country to have an organization like that?
Exactly. During the 80s and 90s, just about every city across the country formed business improvement districts and downtown partnerships or alliances. They all have different names, but they're basically the same type of organization because during that period, every downtown virtually in the country had gone through the same thing that Tucson had gone through.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star.
You mentioned that so many businesses have opened, but with that, we also have businesses that have closed. So of those that have opened in that 60-month or the past 24 months, how many of those are still going concerned? How much of a turnover is there?
That's a good question. I should probably analyze that a little closer. I look at this as a normal give and take, business give and take that you would see on Fourth Avenue, Main Gate, in the malls. You know, companies come and go. Some find their niche. Others don't. Some are undercapitalized. Some have family situations that cause them to get out of the business. There's no rhyme or reason why businesses come and go. And you have to look at this as a normal cycle for any kind of a business district. I know we all want to sort of say, well, how come this one failed and this one stays? But it's not like that. I mean, look at any place across the city, and you're going to see the same percentage of turnover.
Well, Buffalo Exchange was closing their store, saying that mostly the traffic downtown is more geared toward like bars, restaurants, not so much retail. Is that something, a trend that you've seen?
I think that if you look at redevelopment districts, you're going to see that if they're close to a university, university housing starts first, then market rate housing, then condominiums, and during that process, bars and restaurants begin to open up. And the last thing that usually comes, at least in any kind of quantity, is retail. And that follows when everything else is in place. You have to have a certain amount of rooftops, certain amount of pedestrian activity. You're absolutely right about that. And then you reach a point where you can sustain a broader range of retail. Some retail has worked really well. Some hasn't. There's no kind of blueprint that you can sit down and say this will work and this won't. A lot of times it's individual operators. I think Desert Bloom, the small clothing shop on Stone, between Pennington and Congress, is a perfect example. She doesn't even have Facebook. She doesn't have internet. And she's opened up from 10 to 4, and she does this incredible business with women that come down on their lunch breaks and during that part. And she'll sell, if Bill walked in, he'd walk out with something because she's irresistible. But that's, you know, how do you, say, program this kind of success? Mm-hmm. You know, it goes against all your conventional business wisdom. And then somebody else who's got all the professional business plan and advisors and everything fails. So it's hard to say.
One other question I have is looking at, like, the restaurants and some of the retail, it's really high-end, especially for Tucson. Is this money – are the backers, is the financing coming from Tucson? Or is this – are we getting the influx of investors from California, Phoenix, Austin?
Good question, and both is the answer. It's fairly organic from the local level, and I think that we calculated that over 95% of all the businesses that have opened downtown have been statewide or locally based. The money comes from wherever you can get money, either the banks or outside investors or inside investors or family members. It's kind of a hodgepodge, but a little bit of both. And I would agree that it would not be nice to see some more entry-level eateries, but actually, if you look at downtown, we've got quite a few sandwich shops and places that open at lunch. I think you're talking about during the evening, mm-hmm. where you just can't go out outside of pizza, you know, get something fast. But we have food trucks now are showing up, plugging that gap.
12:12 on our Friday Focus interview. It is the Buckmaster Show. Michael Keith is here. We're talking about downtown. If you would like to join in the conversation, Michael would be happy to entertain your question or comment. Our number is 790-2040. I'd like to hear from folks who have had a good experience. You've had a bad experience. Whatever your experience has been downtown, we would like to hear from you. Pretty much, you're talking about investment coming in can be from a mix of places locally and out of state, but it seems we don't have a lot of chain operators downtown, which for those of us who believe in localism and buying local, that's good.
That's good, and it's a testament to actually Tucson, really, because we're very much a ground-up, almost a guerrilla type city when it comes to economic development. And this is all coming up in a real honest response to market forces. It's an incredible mix of people. They are very, very focused on downtown, and we interviewed every one of them because we actually maintain all the databases for this. And to a person, they said they were here because they wanted to make a difference downtown. They didn't know if they could make as much money as other places, but they wanted to be where the vibe was, where the energy was, and that we continue to draw local and state people because of those reasons.
Coming late to the table on downtown redevelopment, I think, has had its advantage. We've been able to learn from other places because, after all, downtown Tucson, Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we are one of the last major downtown areas in the country to be redeveloped.
We were. Our running joke is it's taken 40 years to become an overnight success, but we have benefited from that. There's a lot of studies on every subject, including retail and fixed transit and transit-oriented development, the new darling phrase of all the planners around the country, how to activate public spaces. All this sort of new information or new old information is now at our fingertips to just begin to incorporate into downtown. We're doing it quite well.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, Sarah Garrett-Gasson, myself, and Michael Keith will talk about a downtown Tucson hotel, a new hotel that appears to be in the works. We have talked about a new downtown hotel, it seems like, forever here in the community, Sarah.
Yes,
I mean,
we
how
have.
Long we've, you know, we want a new downtown hotel, and apparently we are going to get one. We'll ask Michael Keith about that as we continue on the Buckmaster Show at exactly 12:15. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you landed 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate, real estate, mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac. Business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Each Friday we bring in a newsmaker. We call it our Friday Focus Interview, and always joining me is a local news person. The local news person today is Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, and our Friday Focus Interview is Michael Keith. Michael is the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Sarah, you are up to plate.
We had some news this week about the headline in the Star was Downtown Tucson Hotel Closer to Reality. That's something that we've seen headlines similar to that over the years. What is the status of this deal, and what does it actually mean, and will it happen?
I believe it will happen. I think that was the last piece that needed to come into play. They had already gotten permission the week before from Rio Nuevo for Rio Nuevo to fund a parking garage that they will pay back over time. So I think all the pieces are in place for this to go forward. I think it's up to 150 rooms now. It's a beautiful concept, a Marriott AC concept that allows a certain almost boutique approach, but still stay within the Marriott family. I understand that they're looking at a swimming pool on the second floor, which would be brilliant and great for downtown. And they're going to activate retail along Broadway and along Fifth Avenue.
What does activate mean?
It means that they're going to place retail on the sidewalk level down there and activate that sidewalkscape. So you'll have people going into shops, and if there's retail across the street, you begin to get a retail zone. And it's very important that we begin to fill in these spaces downtown and get contiguous retail stretching along all the north-south and the east-west streets downtown.
How about street direction and one-way streets? That's come up on occasion. Are we looking at pretty much the way things are right now? Are there plans to perhaps change it?
Well,
the flow, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, Sixth Avenue has gone two-way. Fifth is two-way. Fourth will have to remain one-way as you come out Broadway, just because of the traffic flow and the streetcar. Stone may eventually go two-way all the way through. Church is two-way, might even see a road diet on Church, which means that they might shrink it down and put bike lanes in there. Bike's a big thing happening downtown, just an explosion of cycling and people coming from the outlying historic districts and cycling into downtown.
We need to talk about the Tucson Urban Streetcar, which will be dedicated on July 25th.
Correct.
Did I get that
uh-huh.
right? July 25th. The naysayers, the folks that said, "Oh, this is a big waste of money. Nobody's going to ride the streetcar." What do you say about the streetcar and what it means in terms of investment in the downtown?
In virtually every city that's put a streetcar in, they have seen an explosion of economic development along those fixed transit corridors. It's been no different here. Just downtown alone, we've seen, as I mentioned earlier, $370 million of investment. But along the entire streetcar district, and we're just talking private investment, we've seen over $600 million of private investment already. And there is a lot more coming down the pike. So when you factor in the fact that a good portion of this money came from the federal Tiger Grant, and the rest of a bulk of this remaining money came from the voter approved regional transportation authority that was passed with a half cent sales tax increase. I mean, you're looking at already a 6-to-1 return, and before this is over, you're going to see a 10-to-1 return on money that the voters approved with a half cent sales tax. I would take this deal anytime you can get it. Anytime you can invest a dollar and get $6 to $10 back. Wow.
Well, if the Tucson City Council, I mean, the has said that the taxpayers are going to have to, I mean, the streetcar is going to have to be subsidized for operations.
Correct.
That it's not going to break even. So it will bring in money and generate revenue, but it also will cost money. So I think that's important that we keep that in mind.
Yeah, but you have to take it a few steps deeper. So if you begin to see a 20% increase in people going up and down that corridor, going to restaurants and bars, generating that sales tax, we're not factoring in all the second and tertiary streams of income that come off of this. The construction sales tax alone on that building, on the $600 million that's gone in already, the property tax that the city collects, all this goes back in. This isn't just when you talk about the general fund, all this money goes into the general fund and goes back out, but you've got to calculate all the income streams that come off of something like this and then do your analysis about whether that's a loss or a benefit or not.
Well, and a lot of folks who don't live downtown, who live in the, you know, eastern reaches of the city, since the city limits are so giant, you know, they complain and say, well, why do I have to pay for this? I don't live there. I don't go there. But from what you're saying, and it makes perfect sense, that it's broader than that, that it's not just a microcosm of a few neighborhoods that are going to see the benefit. Is that something that is difficult to convey to people?
It is. It's difficult to convey to anybody that because it's complicated, and I don't even pretend to understand all the different ways that this is going to benefit. But look at it from a regional or a national point of view. We suddenly have a calling card on that four-mile corridor that suddenly vaults us into the same area as the Riverwalk in San Antonio or the Plaza in Santa Fe or some of the other regional attractions. This four-mile corridor has hundreds of restaurants, has a university downtown the west side. Virtually my entire cultural life is somewhere on that four-mile corridor. And for visitors now, the Gem and Mineral Show can extend along that. The tour, El Tour. I mean, this changes everything for Tucson. We've suddenly got something we can market nationally and even internationally.
And do you think that's we need to start thinking of downtown as that whole stretch, 4th Avenue, downtown, not...
We do.
Not
yeah, we call it an urban center if you want. But, yeah, it's now become one contiguous, denser urban core. Urban core is a good word.
Michael Keith is with us. He is the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Before Michael became the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, I recall you probably still consider yourself an historic preservationist, don't you?
I do.
You fixed up old properties.
And a green builder. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of new construction, LEED certified residential infill construction. Most of it historically in historic compatible designs.
And how have we done downtown in that area?
Downtown, as soon as the Herbert gets leased up in the next, finished leasing up in the next 45 days or so, there are no vacancies downtown. There are no residential vacancies. Even in the historic districts, you see almost zero for rent signs. Properties are beginning to move at $240 a square foot now in the surrounding areas. The drag effect of all this investment is really touching the historic districts.
So as far as existing historic properties that still need to be addressed, I guess one would be the Marist College.
Marist College. The remaining vacant historic properties are down to about four. Three of those are being worked on as we speak. Marist College and one other big one that I can think of. And that's it. Virtually there isn't a boarded up building left outside of these four properties.
Folks who don't know, the Marist College is a two-story adobe structure, three-story adobe structure that is owned by the diocese, the Catholic Diocese of Tucson, and they are still, Michael, are they still trying to decide how they will proceed with the property?
They are. In fact, they're looking at a larger plan now for their entire campus mm-hmm. of buildings, and they're putting a plan together. I think they plan to go out and fundraise for the entire campus and look at a larger plan rather than just going down and singling out this one building. And I think that's going to work very well for them.
Could that building be restored, in your opinion?
Oh, God, yes. It's four walls and a roof.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what it's made out of, it's four walls and a roof. And as somebody that's done adobe restoration for almost 30 years, this is pretty simple stuff. I mean, it's got cost to it, but it's not that complicated.
Well, I hope for one they do it. I think it would be a real nice plum for downtown. Anyway, Sarah, thank you for joining in the interview, and stick around. We'll be with us on our roundtable. And Michael Keith, thank you very much. I hope you have a great weekend, Michael.
Same to you, Bill, and I look forward to seeing you down there soon.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's really amazing the progress we're seeing in downtown Tucson, thanks to popular hotspots like Historic Hotel Congress and Maynard's Market and Kitchen. Now, here's someone who really knows all about great events.
Hi, this is David Sleuths, Entertainment Director for Hotel Congress and Maynard's Market and Kitchen. We host over 350 events a year in downtown Tucson, from signature events like the Tucson Beer Championship and Agave Fest, to rock, jazz, comedy performances, weddings, company holiday parties, art openings, lectures. Heck, you name it, we do it. And when we need help, we turn exclusively to the Arizona Party Team. No one comes close to their professionalism and resources. We've asked a lot of crazy things from them, often at very short notice. And they always say, we can do that. And you know what? They do it. Oh, I'll trip them up one day, but I haven't yet. Keep up the good work, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, David. Yeah, we're kind of untrippable at Arizona Party Rental. Come on by and visit our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is the Friday Roundtable. Sarah Garrett Gasson was here during the first half hour, and she's still here for the Friday Roundtable for the next half hour, and we appreciate it. Sarah, interesting to hear. And Dan, I know you were listening in the other room. Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News. He's the editor there of the Green Valley News in Santa Rita Sun. Of course, Green Valley doesn't have necessarily a downtown area, but you were very interested to hear what Michael Keith had to say about what's been going on in downtown Tucson.
Definitely, and we certainly go to downtown Tucson, and he wanted to, and out in the hallway he said, just remind them in Green Valley to come to ours if you don't have your own. But, I guess the average person probably, goes downtown, a couple times a year. We'll go for the symphony or a show or something like that. To shop, nope, not happening. Mm-hmm. The new hotel, well, we have our homes, so that's not going to be an issue. But, the rising tide does help us all, and anything that happens in southern Arizona, we're all for it if it's good.
Well, sir.
I was just going to say, Dan, you're not a hipster.
I'm not even close. I can't even spell it.
Well, when I worked in San Jose many years ago, in the 80s actually, San Jose was going through what Tucson was going through right now with the whole downtown redevelopment. They built an arena that has become kind of the center stage for San Jose, the Sharks of the National Hockey League. And what I'm getting at, Dan, is you were up in earlier in your career in Mesa, which again went through the downtown redevelopment. And I asked Michael Keith, we were really late to the table, Tucson, in downtown redevelopment. That helps in a way. You can look at other cities, see the mistakes they've made.
And what Mesa did was they paid cash for a $100 million art center. There are four theaters there. I think the largest one holds 1,600 people. Right smack downtown, there's a wonderful historic district right near there. But even that bill, and they tried to drive events and everything down there, and Mesa's real good about that. But even that, in a town of a half million people, downtown struggled because what was our new downtown? Well, in Mesa, it was the malls, and then now as malls are going out of fashion, everyone has their own town square where they swap information and news and meet friends and whatever. And for a while, it's Starbucks, or for some it's Starbucks, for some it's a soccer field, for some it's a mall. Downtown is a funky, cool place to go. Mesa's is wonderful, you have so many different tastes that it just isn't the place anymore.
Right.
At least not there, and I don't think it will be for Tucson
and
either.
And, Sarah, you brought this up with Michael that, convincing the people who live on the Far East Side, convincing people who are not in the city. I'm a resident of Pima County. I live in the foothills. I think it's still a hard sell for the foothills people to go downtown.
I think you're right.
Absolutely no research to back this up.
But I think that sort of gut feeling and anecdotal information is really valuable, because if you have that perception, then that perception becomes reality, and everyone's figuring, it's just for young hipster college kids, people like that, that it's not for us. And I think that is one risk that all this really – I mean, it's vibrant. It's great. But if you're not into bar hopping and you don't have the money, then it's not – there's not really necessarily something for everyone.
And Bill, I do have some numbers as far as Mesa goes, because years ago we had dug up a poll, and it said that 80% of the people in Mesa who were polled had never been downtown.
Wow.
Never. Now, while I was there, they're redeveloping some old apartments into some real cool, actually hipster type things. There are some great restaurants going in, and again, that art center is going to change all that, and that opened probably about 6-7 years ago, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place. So that really has revitalized it, but you got to have a reason that people will go downtown, and I don't know that Tucson has something quite like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also think it's something that we have to acknowledge, and for all the change that's exciting and is bringing people, a lot of college students, young people, mm-hmm. which is great, that's a vastly different downtown now than it was when I got here 20-some years ago. It's just that it's more polished. It's more sort of sophisticated, which is not to say that the old way of, you know, Tucson being kind of funky and homemade in a way, that's not really sounds very flattering,
yeah,
but
yeah.
We have that sort of ethos that it just seems fancier somehow, and it's different than what
right.
a lot mm-hmm. of people.
But a lot of people felt like downtown Tempe, which the Mill Avenue Merchants Association had been awesome there, but they felt it became too corporate,
right.
really, and a little too polished, and that kind of drove some people off. Now the Tempe Town Lake and what was happening there, that's kind of brought some people back. But for a while there, people were like, wait a minute, I don't want to come down to downtown Tempe and go to the Gap.
Yeah.
So. Well, what will draw the people from the foothills downtown, and probably already is fine dining. And
right.
And we're getting,
right.
that would be the motivator, destination dining. And people will go down to check out the restaurants. And that's the catalyst, I think, to get the people downtown.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that's something. And Tucson has a lot to offer. We have a lot of really cool places, but they are pricey.
Mm-hmm. All right, Gloria is with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, and she would like to add her opinion about downtown. Go ahead, Gloria.
Well, I have a lot of friends who lived where there was a vibrant downtown, and they missed it. And they live as far as Oro Valley, or farther away than that even. And now that there is one, they go, oh, can you take us downtown? And so I'm... you know, a guide or something, but they love it. Once we get there, we usually have drinks at one place and then dinner at another place, and then just walk up and down. The trouble with the people who sell used clothing, Buffalo Exchange, is they were closed at night when people were there wandering around.
Well, and you know what? You hit on one of the problems with downtown Mesa, and that is you have all of these independent merchants, and it was like herding cats to get them all to agree that, okay, at least one night a week mm-hmm. can we all be open late. And they're also independent-minded. And you know what? They're running their own business. They don't have a lot of employees. It's tough, but you're exactly right. There were too many stores that were closed, and it was a turnoff for visitors.
Okay. Thank you, Gloria, for your comment about downtown. I want to move to politics here on the Friday Roundtable. Arizona Republic today. Headline, Tom Horn, GOP, political poll, recent poll, spells disaster, is AG's race over? Basically, the poll shows Mr. Brnovich, who we had on the program earlier this week. Brnovich is running against Tom Horn in the Republican primary with, I think it's about a 15-point lead over Tom Horn. Sarah, I would not count Tom Horn out.
Oh, no. No, he is. He's the kind of political person who just won't go away. I mean, his fellow Republicans are calling on him to resign, saying he's an embarrassment. He's under investigation for campaign finance problems from his original campaign for attorney general 4 years ago, and now there's new allegations, which he, of course, denies. But he's not going to leave the race. And he's the kind of politician who just, I think, kind of thrives on all of this. And he has supporters who think, like Russell Pierce, who think that he's great and that that the more he is attacked, that the better a candidate he is.
And Brnovich, Mark Brnovich, Dan Scheer in this poll had a not only a 15% lead over likely Republican voters, but the bad news for Tom Horn, 60% of these people said they don't like him. Now, the bad news for Mr. Brnovich is that he has a much lower name recognition than Tom Horn, and we touched on this a little bit last week on the roundtable. Yes, whether you like Tom Horn or not, he's got a political clout over his head, but what's that old saying about publicity? Just make sure you spell the name right.
Right. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad.
And
in the end, you're going to have some people go to the polls who, believe it or not, are not aware of a lot of this. And they're going to say, oh, Tom Horn, I think I know that name. I think I'll vote for him because, you know, I haven't heard anything bad about him lately. Well, they haven't been reading the news. And let's not forget Felicia Rodellini, the Democrat who's in the race, who is, I think, very strong, very formidable. But a few weeks ago, Robert Graham, the chairman of the state GOP, told me morals matter in the context was a discussion about Tom Horn, and he said morals matter to voters, and so this could perhaps really be the death knell for Tom Horn. But I agree with Sarah. This is a guy who's very feisty.
Speaking of name recognition, how about Cesar Chavez?
Your
column on Thursday talks about a candidate who has changed his name legally to Cesar Chavez to get voter name recognition.
Right. I mean, of course, he's not going to put, I'm trying to defraud voters on his name change application, but his name is Scott Fissler. He's a Republican, although he changed his registration to Democrat. He's lost two other elections. It's really hard to.
Running for Congress in District 7 for the seat of Ed Pastor, a Democrat who's retiring.
Right, and he's banking on the fact that
Cesar Chavez is still come back from the grave. And
right, the people are just too oblivious and too dumb and too uneducated to notice that this guy is not the Cesar Chavez who has been deceased and is no longer in politics.
No.
I don't even know what to say to something like that.
All right. We are quickly running out of time. What about the story, Dan, you've been covering? There was this Border Patrol situation. A man shot and killed during a foot chase with Border Patrol agents last week was struck in the head, according to Pima County Sheriff's deputies, who I guess are doing the investigation.
The Pima County Sheriff's Department is the FBI showed up at the scene and said no, they didn't want to take it for whatever reason. So the Sheriff's Department has taken this case. They've told us it's going to be at least another week before they're done. 9 shots fired, 1 hit. The man was unarmed. He's an American, the dead man. He had been involved in a very similar incident in April, which we've dug up quite a few records on. He was released on $2,500 bond in that one, in part because he showed that he wasn't a flight risk because he was helping support his girlfriend's 2-year-old child, not his, but his girlfriend. So they said, okay, you can go. But he had lots of charges from that one. He went back to the same business. The question here is, in the mind of the Border Patrol agent who fired, did he feel threatened? Because at one point the man stopped, turned, and acted like he had a gun, but he was shot in the back of the head, so obviously he had turned back around and was running away toward the pecan orchard. So this one is going to be very interesting, and just lots at play here. We have a pastor down in Sarita who next week is going to meet with Customs and Border Protection in Washington, D.C., to make sure that Border Patrol, which has recently changed some of its policies, is actually going to stick to them in these types of situations.
And they've been under fire, the Border Patrol, from the media for not being forthcoming, Sarah, enough in recent weeks and months and years.
Yeah,
actually, it goes back over a couple of years.
It certainly does. Yeah, there's a lot that goes on that isn't made public, even though it should be.
Let's go to Jim Kelly, who is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Jim has a comment. Go ahead, Jim.
Good afternoon, panel and Bill.
Hi, Jim.
Glad to have you back from vacation.
Thank you.
Hey, Scott Fissler, also known as Cesar Chavez, if nothing else, the audacity of it all is going to make the Democrats in Congressional District 7 spend a lot of money just to counter the message even before they get to the general. So this guy was a Republican, and now he's running as a Democrat. So in a way, somebody in the Republican Party up in CD7 was kind of smart about this.
Well, and it's not the first time that, that something like this has happened. Back east, there was a situation where a was it in Detroit? I'm not remembering precisely where, but someone changed their name to be the same name of a prominent community civil rights leader, and tried to get voters to vote for him. I think it's sad, actually, that the Republicans aren't saying, you know, aren't calling it for what it is, and aren't objecting to trying to pull the wool over voters' eyes. I mean, politically, yeah, you're going to spend lots of money trying to make sure that this people know who this guy is. But just think how cynical and craven that is.
Dan, I'm just about out of time. You wanted to make a quick mention about something called, is it pickle?
Pickleball. It is the rage around the country. It's huge, and it's huge down where we are. And basically, it's tennis on a court that's about one-third the size, and you play it with paddles. And our problem down there is that so many people are interested. We can't build courts fast enough. And this thing really is all the rage because it's for older people who can't get around a tennis court like they once did. They don't have to give up the sport. So it's incredibly popular. We had at Quill Creek had a meeting recently for people who are interested in it. Two meetings, successive nights, drew 200 people at each meeting.
Maybe you could get people interested in cornhole and bring that back.
Be a little cheaper. Yeah, yeah.
And Rose has even chimed in here. Rose says pickleball is awesome, even for younger people. Young people like Rose. She's all on board with this, so there must be something to it.
There is something to it. One of the problems, though, is that pickleball can be kind of loud, and so you can't put pickleball courts too close to homes because you just hear this thwack, thwack, thwack all day long.
All right, that's going to do it for the Friday Roundtable. Charles, I'm sorry I didn't have time to get to you. I know he wanted to talk about Cesar Chavez, but we're going to have to move on. Back right after this.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay, and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
We are twisting and shouting out by the pool on a very hot weekend here in Tucson. Weekend Watch, hosted by Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And our good friends over there want me to urge you, all the Southern Arizonans listening, to head over to cool Silver City. Temperatures probably about 15 degrees cooler, only 3 hours east of Tucson, to cool off in historic Silver City in the Gila National Wilderness. You can find out more about Silver City and the great places to stay, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch, at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, columnist, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, Matt Russell. Matt, did you get the Speedo out? And I guess there were some shocked faces when they saw you show up for work this morning at Russell Public Communications wearing the Speedo, which you usually only break out if it's over 110 degrees.
Yeah, which means the Speedo is going to get worked overtime this month, Bill. You know, luckily I had a margarita in each hand when I got to work today, so my staff said that I could stay.
Oh, good indeed. We're always looking for a new festival here in Southern Arizona. Anything that you can help us out on in that regard?
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. You know, it's finally here. We've been eagerly awaiting the arrival, and the entire event showcasing the beauty that is bacon is tomorrow night. It's the Arizona Bacon Fest, beginning at 6 o'clock out at Keno Stadium. More than 35 local restaurants, each serving up a special dish that creatively incorporates bacon in some capacity, whether that's Canadian or jowl or pork belly, you know, the whole gamut. More than 20 brewers are going to be on hand as well, serving up some seasonal suds. I'm even told, Bill, that there's going to be a bacon beer on hand as well. Live music and games are going to add some fun to this 21 and older event, and tickets are available at ArizonaBaconFest.net. I will snort to that, Bill.
Ann Rose is correcting me. It's not a new festival because she loves bacon, and she's hoping there'll be something called a chocolate caramel bacon brownie. That is her favorite.
That's
so
my girl.
I guess bacon really goes with everything here in Tucson. How about Tucson Originals? They always put together some really great summer events.
Yeah, you know, well, if you prefer pizza to pork, Bill, the Tucson Originals has you covered on Sunday from 5 to 8 p.m. over at Rocco's Little Chicago on Broadway for its first ever pizza throwdown, which is going to pit local pizza makers against one another to see who kicks out the best pie. Participants this year include Rocco's, of course, Magpies, Mama Luisa's, and Vero Amore. And you can sample them all and cast your vote for only $20, which includes beer samples from local brewers and desserts from area restaurants. Now, Bill, what topping is a must for a pizza to be called a Buckmaster pizza?
Well, you'd better put a lot of mozzarella and a lot of wonderful fresh tomatoes, because that's the way it works with my friends at Vero Amore. How about that?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
How about digging up the backyard and getting a luau going?
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Our good friend Chef Albert Hall over at Acacia Real Food and Cocktails, he's challenging us all to channel our inner Don Ho on Sunday for his annual luau. Starting at 6 p.m., Acacia is going to turn into an island paradise with regional music and dancers and cocktails, alongside a whole roasted pig, fried rice, and other traditional luau cuisine. They're even hosting a poi eating contest
this year,
Bill. Tickets are just $48 per person, so grab your grab skirt, head on over to Acacia on Sunday night for the luau, and I say aloha.
Jump in the pool. Have fun. Thanks, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan Better Water, Pure and Simple. Thank you, Culligan. All the in-studio guests get a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the team, the lovely, talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, and me, Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Remember, all the expert talk begins tomorrow here with Phil Gardner. Phil Gardner, Phil Cedar with his gardening show at 7 a.m. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.